Well, the pandemic is affecting our health, obviously, our economy, and the nation's borders. Some researchers even say COVID is becoming a 9/11 moment for borders and health on our planet. Dimitri talked about that with Megan Benton of DC's Migration Policy Institute, who has co-written a new article in Health Affairs Journal.
This could be a moment where border management and travel procedures change forever. So in the early 2000s, after 9/11, we saw this shift towards managing borders to reduce security risk at almost at all costs. And now we're seeing a similar shift towards, you know, doing everything to manage borders to reduce COVID risk. But right now, the situation is extremely complex. So over the last year, we've seen thousands of travel bans and border closures and testing and quarantine requirements, you know, across the world. And increasingly, we're seeing vaccination requirements. The problem is it's extremely chaotic and it's costly and confusing. There are over 100,000 separate travel measures in place worldwide right now. So in terms of the 9/11 moment, it's a question of how do we get out of this situation and get the world moving again, which I think has to come from a more coordinated international response of the kind that we saw after 9/11, with agreement over common standards and procedures rather than this chaotic situation you see right now.
The political situation 20 years ago was quite different, considerably more harmonious here in the U.S. and across the world, and an organized system did emerge, as you say, after the carnage of 9/11. Now that we're divided, we can't even agree on certain facts within our borders here, will it be much more difficult to produce that organized system regarding borders and migration?
Absolutely. I mean, obviously, vaccines are highly divisive, not just in this country, but across the world. But I think the reality is that many rich countries are really converging, for instance, on this idea that they will allow vaccinated visitors an easier route in, so to skip quarantine or to skip testing requirements. And increasingly, you know, the U.S. is at a disadvantage because it's going to be hard for people vaccinated here to prove that they're vaccinated. So they will be subject to additional requirements. So I think that at some point, I don't know where the political will come from that particular source, but there's going to be a lot of demand from U.S. residents to be able to travel more smoothly. I mean, to give you one example, I am a British and Dutch national. I can't now skip quarantine and testing requirements in either the EU or the UK because I can't get access to the digital COVID certificates that they're rolling out in those countries.
We can understand to some extent why the U.S. has been reluctant to go for this so-called vaccine passport. But you're saying pretty soon here, we're going to be left out of the game.
Yes, I think so. And then the other thing is that questions are beginning to be asked about the potential for fraud. So right now, as a U.S. resident, you can get increasingly into, for instance, EU countries if you just show your CDC paper slip. I think at some point people are going to say, well, we're here, we have a large population. It is also a large vaccinated population compared to the rest of the world. And one of the only countries where there isn't a kind of a vaccine registry, or at least a conversation about how you do some kind of verification of vaccine status.
You and your colleague write that the pandemic tested the limits of humanitarian protection norms in a way that it may be difficult to walk back from. How so?
What we've seen is a lot of countries have found it quite convenient to be able to shut their borders on the basis of public health concerns. And there are conversations about whether or not we'll see a decline in particularly the norm of territorial asylum, so that you'll be able to claim asylum by entering a country. I think that there are conversations right now about whether refugee resettlement will grow as an alternative. And so it's not really like there's a kind of ripping up of the refugee convention right now. But you have seen a bit of a sort of erosion of norms around territorial asylum across the world.
Is it safe to say poverty-stricken people who are on the move, either because of their finances or climate change or both, always seem to be the losers in these situations? And for once, what can we try to do to keep that from happening again?
The COVID-19 pandemic has had a really devastating impact on people on the move, whether it's migrants getting stranded, erosions of human rights norms, difficulties claiming asylum for people who have legitimate claims, the issues around risk of COVID in refugee-type situations. Right now, I think there's another concern, which is that we have this huge rise in health requirements at the point of borders, which are extremely difficult for a lot of people to meet. They're costly, they're demanding. If they're vaccine requirements, we have the problem that, you know, a lot of the world does not yet have access to the vaccine. So is there a shift towards even more irregular movement? And is there a sort of a negative impact, as you mentioned, on people on the move, particularly the most vulnerable?
We have put a whole set of problems on our plate here. What, if anything, do you write about solutions or a step or two toward solutions?
Yep. So I really think that this has to be a moment for greater international coordination to try and address some of those issues. Right now, movements of all kinds, whether it's to seek asylum, whether it's just to go on a business trip, whether it's to see your family in different countries, it's all really chaotic, costly, and confusing. The situation is not transparent, easy to follow. I think at some point, countries need to work together and develop a more coordinated international response so that their different systems that they're developing separately work together, and so that we don't end up with just a kind of open-shut situation, which could mean really very chaotic mobility for the years to come. This is an extremely complex web right now that's hard for anyone but the most determined and well-resourced travelers to navigate. It doesn't make a lot of sense. So if you're, for instance, a temporary visa holder in the US from Germany or India, you might be able to go and visit your family, but you have no guarantee you'll be able to get back into the US. And all these countries are looking inwardly and trying to reduce the risk of new threats, particularly the Delta variant right now. But we have to be looking at this situation in the round. You can't just solve this problem by trying to keep threats out. You have to be thinking about how we're going to open back up safely and have return to, you know, important levels of human mobility in the future.
That's Megan Benton, Director of Research for the International Program at DC's Migration Policy Institute on Skype. You can read more at WTOPIA.com, search Health Affairs.